You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. Well, it's ARPM weekend again, and for those of you going along, you'll be treated to an amazing bunch of speakers, professionals and practitioners providing inspiration on all things leadership and property management. One of those speakers happens to be on the cover of EPM this issue, and his name is Michael Love. He's a director of Love & Co. in Melbourne's northern suburbs. Michael is a third-generation real estate leader who is down-to-earth, practical, and through his family ties understands the importance of leaving just a little bit for the next person. Today, Love & Co. has 9 offices, including commercial, and is going from strength to strength. And while the business may have a 70-year history, under Michael's guidance, it is well positioned to innovate and serve the North well into the future. Okay, so welcome to the podcast, Michael Love.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I've been dying to ask you some questions about your story because you and your family have had one of the longest running real estate businesses that I know of, certainly. And Ted Love, your grandfather, opened the first branch of Love Real Estate in 1945 after buying a business from his mate, Ted Savage. So the two Teds. And that was 70 years ago after he returned from the war. Your father was also a real estate agent. So did you have any choice but to become a real estate agent yourself?
I don't know if there's a correct answer to that, Sam. I always had a choice, but I think I made the decision to become an agent quite young. And my father's always encouraged me to follow what I wanted to do, though there may have been some conversations and guidance in my upbringing that had it that I wanted to become a real estate agent, whether I knew it or not. But it's certainly been something that has been encouraged, though I've also been able to do a lot of other things before coming into the real estate space.
I read somewhere that you were quite young when you did your first open home.
Yes, I was. I think I was about 11 or 12. I did my first open home.
And how did that go for you?
The buyer woke me up out of the seat. I think Dad was on daycare and he was selling a subdivision and they were a salesman down. So he showed me the pamphlets to hand out and take anyone's name and telephone number. Had to write it on a form. I remember that. And he said, just sit in this chair until someone shows up. Well, it was a warm spring day and I sat in the chair and I drifted off. And a client walked in and said, hello, can you help me? And sure enough, I gave them the brochures and took their name and details, but I didn't get a commission.
And the rest, they say, is history.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to know, though, like, how well do you remember your grandfather? What was the first Love Real Estate office like? And what did you learn from your grandfather?
My grandfather and I didn't spend a lot of time together when I was a child as such in and around the office. I used to go to work with Dad and my grandfather sort of came and went as he did. But I think by the time I was old enough to know, my grandfather was working behind the scenes and my dad was more running the business. My learnings from my grandfather came much later. Once I was in the business myself doing property management, I would often go to the VCAT on behalf of an owner. And afterwards, I'd always drop in and debrief my grandfather and get some words of wisdom. So that guidance really came as I grew closer to my grandfather in my early 20s.
Interesting. Can you remember any of the great pieces of advice that he gave you?
Yeah, I certainly draw on his advice from time to time. Having it off the top of my head often isn't when I find it. It's usually when I've got a problem and I'm trying to creatively work my way through that difficulty, and I'll reflect back on some of the things he said and it sort of just pops up and I'll move ahead. But certainly he was a big advocate that our industry is all about service, that we need to provide a service, and quite often that you will make decisions which suit you more so than suiting the client as the environment changes. However, at the end of the day, we don't have a product on a shelf to sell as much as we have a service to sell. And we've got to make sure that we're always offering a good service to our clients. And I think that is often the fundamental piece when making a business decision is how will this benefit our clients? As often I'm given ideas on how it will benefit us is innovative, though the test for us really in the office is how will this benefit our clients?
Yeah, great test. So your dad, he followed his father into the business and yeah. You've produced this beautiful book called Love Our North. And in that book, it says that he learned from Ted, from his father, the importance of getting things right the first time. And your dad's still in the business. So what is the biggest lesson you think you've learned in business or in life from your father?
I'm so grateful to have him every day working alongside of him and his guidance. I think that there isn't one particular thing, again, that I could say is the only thing other than you want to have a go. Make sure you're doing the right thing and make sure there's something in it for someone else. Again, I think that also, whilst I come up, and as I said, things pop up from what my grandfather had always says when I'm thinking about things, but that's really been something that was instilled in my father and instilled in me is leave a little bit in it for the next person. There's enough there for everybody, but if you're buying and selling real estate, you don't have to milk everything. You know, you leave a little bit for the next person and leave a little bit for the next person. And that sort of a philosophy in business is, I think, a relationship building strategy so that people that you're working with, it's not all just for us. You know, we adopt and we support our partners and our staff and how can we help them? What's in it for them as well? Not just what's in it for us. So that's something my father certainly always guided me on if I'm doing something business related and certainly client related. What's in it for them?
Yeah, that's good advice too. I mean, it must be amazing for you just thinking about what you were saying then, because you must be helping people buy and sell homes that are the grandchildren of the people that your father and your grandfather were selling to. So now that the business has gotten quite large, and I think I counted 8 businesses at the moment.
That's right, yep.
So your business is obviously quite ingrained in the community, and both your father and grandfather were instrumental in shaping those suburbs of the north. How do you remain close to the community with the ties handed down by them?
I think it's always coming back to what can I offer? How can I help? What's a value that I can offer? Anybody really is my focal point. I see more and more real estate agents looking for egotistical positions. I think the general public are a little bit over having a real estate agent who's drumming their chest and telling them how wonderful they are. I think the way that we stay connected in the community is very much around what can we offer the community of value. And the role of a real estate agent is about offering value, not just in buying and selling homes, but guidance in decisions in generally around real estate. Not saying that we're a financial advisor as such, though being able to put someone in touch with a great financial advisor, a good accountant, or even if it's just a tradesman that might be someone that we work closely with as they've got that one or two things that are very squeaky in the home that they'd love to have fixed, supporting the community in other areas where we might be able to bring our expertise in certain areas into those community, being clubs or sponsorships, to assist everybody.
So not only does Love & Co. have a long history itself, I also noticed that in an industry like real estate where sometimes the turnover of employees can be quite quick, you have a long list of long-term employees, some that in fact serve the company for more than 50 years. So what's your secret to keeping good people in your business?
I don't think that's really my secret, Sam. I haven't been here for 50 years, so they've been here because of the good secrets of my father and my grandfather. But looking at how that is, I think comes back to what I said before, leaving something in it for someone else, making sure that they're supported. And that being said, we've also had some great people who have left the industry and who have left and gone to work at other places. And sometimes things are not perfect for everybody, but I think being able to work through that with people and being able to see the future and working with people through all facets, it's kind of like a marriage. And some people get out quickly and others are happy to work through it. And my father's grit, I suppose, of following the work ethic of his father and his resilience, and he's been married, my dad now, for probably 40 years, had 5 children. He's got pretty good resilience in relationships and really works to improve and help everybody grow within the organization. So it becomes a really nice part of your job as a business owner in the development of the team and helping them, even if it isn't to stay in real estate, but to see them develop and move into whatever field they would like to move into. And I think probably that's a nice place to get to as I'm becoming more and more seeing that as the passion in growing the people within the organization, because our business is really about our wonderful teams and we're very grateful to have them.
In 2011, you rebranded the business. What was the decision behind that, and how hard was it to do that when everyone was so used to seeing the original Love & Co brand?
Our brand is forever changing. In 2011, we wanted to just shake up a little bit of how we were. We were very innovative. We've just recently rebranded again in February. And again, it's just showing the difference of how our company's evolving within the marketplace and making sure that we are staying in contact with our ever-changing community. Before we do rebrand, we do a lot of surveys and we do a lot of research into the marketplaces that we serve. And we make sure that our branding is in line with those people and those communities. As they change, we need to continually change and develop as a company. So our rebranding isn't so much difficult as it is revisiting who we are as a company and the communities that we serve.
So this interview is part of a series we like to call the Leadership Diaries, where we ask leaders like yourself a series of questions to get some insights into leadership in the real estate industry. So are you ready?
Sure. Fire away.
These questions are a bit more rapid fire. Here we go. What does the first hour of your day look like and how does it go after that?
The first hour of my day, what does it look like? Currently, it looks like checking in with my wife and my little one. That first hour can be at whatever hour he decides to wake up. It's my full and undivided attention to him. Then once I make sure that's sort of settled down, I often we'll do a little bit of a review of my day and plan for whatever it is, emails, get back to anybody for anything I've missed over the evening, try to have breakfast at home if I don't have early appointments, and then get into it.
So you've had some amazing mentors in your career, obviously in family. Who are you learning from right now?
I've got a number of coaches. I do a lot of reading. At the moment, I'm working with a gentleman by the name of Dan in New Zealand. He's actually just a professional development coach. It's really now moving into just being present and being in the now and staying in my own lane and running my own race. So just really working on that, just getting in touch with, again, my 90-day plans and focusing on the things that are going to bring results as opposed to getting caught in the busyness of everyday business.
Yeah, it is so easy to get caught in that. Where do great ideas in your business generally come from?
The team. We have great brainstorming. We work on upward pressure as much as we work on downward pressure within our organization. There isn't a week that goes by without somebody putting forward a great idea or a great plan, and we swat that and talk about it and look at the areas that it could improve or develop, and then we look at implementation. Or it goes onto the list of other things that we're looking to implement and where it sits on the priority of that list.
Sometimes the list gets quite long.
It can. And we do review the list. Sometimes great ideas occur, but it's just not the right time. So sometimes we need to review back on those lists and look at what we're focusing on. And from there, we will constantly prioritize things and work through what needs to happen. As the environment's constantly changing, there's new challenges, so sometimes things have to be pushed down the list as we deal with particular matters head on.
What is your favourite question to ask somebody in a job interview?
I don't think that I have a favourite question. I like to find out about people, but fundamentally, if they're not somebody that I would feel comfortable to go and pick my little boy up from school or from kinder, then they don't have the values to work in our team. It's more of a values-based test, I suppose, that I do more so than ask a question. But fundamentally, I look for people with the right values, skills I'm happy to train. And we do a lot of training around skills training. But I want to make sure fundamentally I'd feel confident that I could send them to pick up my little boy from kinder. And if they fit that realm, I'm pretty comfortable there.
What is one characteristic that you think every leader should have?
I think they need to be true to who they are. I think that being yourself is what people are far more attracted to than somebody trying to do something that someone else does well. I think that a leader needs to really be honourable to who they are. There's not a particular leader or leadership that suits everyone. And as a leader in general, I think it's really about a truth for your own strengths and weaknesses and realising what they are and just being truthful to yourself and acknowledging who you are rather than trying to be somebody that you're not because someone's told you that's who you should be. I think that's an easy trap to get caught in.
Do you think a lot of leaders in the real estate industry, they get caught up in what they should be? And is it hard sometimes when you're having a bad day? How do you get over that?
I think we all get caught up in marketing. I think we all get caught up in the idea of how we should be. And I think that's something I've been working on a lot lately is just really staying focused on where I am now and the opportunities that present me now and staying in my own lane and running my own race. It's a pretty good way to get anxiety when you're working forward and you start making things up in your head that this will happen, and this will happen. I've tried on a lot of different things as far as ideologies of what I should be doing, and some of them felt okay, but some of them didn't fit with me and fundamentally who I am as a person. But I find that when I'm working through, I've had a bad day, I will quite often just really write down of what's actually happened. Or am I just caught up in what might happen? And usually things are never as bad as you think they're going to be. Fundamentally, if you just stay present to right now, the worst thing that's happened is it's done. Move on. And if you're working in the future and you're constantly in a place that hasn't occurred yet, it really just is all make-believe. The only thing I'm ever certain of is right now.
I think that's really good advice. What's the worst advice you've ever heard given to someone in the real estate industry?
5 a.m. club.
If you're not an early bird. You do have a 5 a.m. club. It's just a different 5 a.m. club.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely part of the 5 a.m. club. Not the 5 a.m. club I used to be a part of. It's a different one now with a 2-year-old, I can assure you. The worst advice that I've been given, I don't think I've ever been given really any bad advice. It just hasn't necessarily suited me at the time it was given to me. I think the advice, any advice is good advice. It's my own ability to process and whether that's going to suit me right now. What works for somebody else doesn't necessarily work for me in the context of where I am right now, but that doesn't mean that I won't need it when I get somewhere further. And any advice is just their take on what may or may not have occurred for them. So that's just learning, and I take that on board and I listen. And I think I've got a pretty good take for will this work well for me right now? And sometimes it won't work well for me right now, but that doesn't mean that it won't work well for me in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year from now. And that's someone else's experience. So if it gets to the point where I need that, I love the idea of being able to park that advice and come back to it at a later time, should I need it. It's in the right context. And if not, it's just an interesting conversation around what's occurred for somebody else. And that's fundamentally interesting to me of how we end up in scenarios where we're like, how did this happen? Fundamentally, I wouldn't say that I've had bad advice. It would just be that it hasn't been suited to what I'm looking for or what is required for me at the time that I get given that advice.
So you're speaking at ARPM 2018 this year, and we're really looking forward to seeing you there. What is one of the biggest messages that you'd like to deliver to the folks attending ARPM?
Well, I'm very excited to be speaking at the event, and I think I'm going to be talking and getting a message out to people that who they are and what they're doing is completely okay. And there's a few little bits and pieces that I won't reveal now, Sam. It might be a showstopper, but fundamentally everyone's really doing the best job they can, and if that's what they're doing, then good on them. You don't have to change greatly other than just being who you are and doing a great job. as the industry develops, we're all developing and we're all improving, and nobody is the same person they were 2 years ago.
So lastly, what are your goals for the next 12 months?
Our goals are really to continue to grow as a business, to continue to offer support and help to the teams as they develop and grow, and make sure that we are working to improve our service to our landlords and remain competitive in a very competitive market.
Well, Michael, it's been such a pleasure talking to you and meeting you. So looking forward to seeing you at Arpam, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks very much, Sam.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.